Exceedingly expecting to find Jesus' corpse, some of the women followers go to the tomb with embalming spices. After a perplexing encounter with the empty tomb and angelic visitors, the women become the first to proclaim the amazing news of the resurrection. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. But on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our unexpected risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 5 years ago, on Easter Sunday morning, or Easter Day rather, I attempted to start a new tradition with our family. Shannon and I were on internship. We were away from both of our families the first time as a married couple. Noah was but a few months old, and so I wanted to something new, something special, something amazing. And so after worship, I went home and I prepared what I thought would be the most delightful thing ever, an Easter meat pie. This meat pie was stuffed full of ham and salami, prosciutto, as well as ricotta, parmesan, and mozzarella cheeses. It was supposed to be the pie of all pies. A savory bite of delightfulness that one couldn't even imagine. The problem was it never ended up being that which I had hoped. You see, in the process of purchasing ingredients, a maple-flavored ham was purchased in lieu of a regular ham. And so, my expectations, as you can imagine, were crushed as the maple flavored overwhelmed that entire pie. That first day in our gospel lesson, the women's expectations were not met when they went to that empty, or when they went to that tomb. Arriving early in the morning, they expected to find what one expects to find in a grave site: a cold, stiff, even foul-smelling body. The body of the one they had called the Messiah. Except he was nowhere to be found. This unexpected event really isn't all that uncharacteristic of God. Throughout the Gospels, we hear of stories of Jesus continuously leaving his followers perplexed. We hear stories of Jesus healing the incurable, crippled, blind, leprosy-ridden, deaf, demon-possessed, and much more. Jesus fed thousands of people multiple times with little to nothing to give them. He even told nonsense stories like the son who squandered everything that his father had given him, yet he was received back by his father without repentance. In a story of a shepherd who left 99 sheep behind just to go find that one that wandered away. Jesus welcomed in strangers and outcasts. He hung out with society's rejects. Yes, everything about Jesus was unexpected. It was then in unexpected certainty that the Savior of the world would suffer and die in such a horrendous and unimaginable way, only to rise again and live 3 days later. This event of Jesus suffering, his death and resurrection, points us to an act of sacrificial love. Not sacrificial in the sense of an angry God demanding satisfaction for the sin of the world. That is what would be expected response of a God who gets often portrayed as holy, just, and powerful. It makes sense that the only way for things to be righted with God is if Jesus stood in our place and accepted our punishment. That's how hierarchical systems of power work. But as we've learned, our God doesn't always behave in expected ways. In Jesus, we find an unexpected God, one that acts in the most unpredictable manner imaginable, sacrificially willing to die, to show God's deep love for humankind. An unexpected God who, as a loving parent, would do anything to show that love to his children. One, Jesus and our scriptures show us over and over again a God who forgives without merit. Jesus and our scriptures show us a God who accepts all unconditionally, time and time again. Jesus and the scriptures show us a God who is amongst the people in loving service, even if he is pushed away. Jesus' stories, his words about God and the kingdom, continually point to the unexpected God who lavishly loves and draws near to all people, especially those whom our world then and now think less of. This is the wondrous love and unexpected mercy of our God. This unexpected God is terribly uncomfortable, though, especially for people who want to accept and embrace a nicely boxed in Christ. Our systems of penal justice and desire to earn things in life cause us to expect the same in a God. We like that predictability. We like drawing those boundaries and setting limits on where God is, what God does, and who God is. That includes me also. But God's love, God's location, God's limits cannot be bound. And it's in this unexpected God that through perplexity and wonderment, just like the women at the tomb on that first Easter morning, it's with that perplexity and wonderment that we can begin to hear and experience God's unexpected activity in our world today. It is in the openness of wonderment we hear God's glory proclaimed in a new light from voices otherwise dismissed. Women, for starters, they were the first. They were the first to share the good news, to believe in the resurrection, only to be dismissed by Jesus' disciples, the 11 men. But also people that don't look like us, that don't act like us, that don't believe exactly like us. God is and continuously is vibrantly being proclaimed through those voices, those unexpected voices. And to be clear, these unexpected voices are not an identification of God. Those are the boundaries we and identifiers we make. These voices include women, people of color, our LGBTQIA+ siblings, the homeless, the outcasted, strangers and foreigners, all sorts of people that otherwise are not given voice. Through perplexity, through wonderment, we and the world can hear the good news in new, faithful ways. Seeking God's unexpected activity through unexpected people. God's people. And certainly we're not only going to hear that within these church walls, but in every moment of every day, we encounter and expect to see Christ in every person that we meet. Because Christ doesn't just reside in this empty tomb. Christ resides in you and in every human being. Christ is here this day because Christ is in each and every one of you. Christ is out in the world, in all of creation, because He resides in every single being. What a beautiful gift. What a beautiful gift of diversity, of expressing God and God's love for us, for all of humanity. So we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, are you prepared? Are you willing to meet that unexpected God? Are we as a community of faith able to do the same? Will the encounters of the embodied Christ be met with perplexity or dismissed as idle tales? Brothers and sisters, let us long for God's resurrected new life expressed in and through the unexpected. Let us share in the perplexity of the Almighty, and let us be open to our own unexpected ventures through our God who faithfully loves and accepts all of humankind. Amen.